God said, when Israel was a child and I loved him, and he was to act this out. In Jeremiah 31:3, I'm going to turn and read that. It's kind of a sidelight on this about the Lord's love. The third verse, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. I like the Lord's ways, don't you? With loving kindness have I drawn thee. So now to show out God's love for a backslidden people, he's to go to a woman, beloved of her friend. Now I'd like to just ask you, ladies, you girls, wouldn't you like to live in a society where a man could go out and buy you for a few bushels of barley? Sounds a little absurd to us, doesn't it? Jacob worked 7 years for one wife and 7 years for another one. And different peoples had different methods along this line. And notice what he paid for her. So I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver and for an homer of barley and an half homer of barley. Now, according to the marginal of my Bible, this would have been, if I remember right, about 129 gallons, which would come out, if I remember right again, about 16 bushels. Later, another authority says 13 bushels. Yeah, I'd like to have that daughter of yours for a wife. Well, what will you give me? Oh, I've got about 13 bushels of barley over here. I'll give that to you. I wonder what would be a person's reaction if you try to pull that in our day. Well, that was a different society. Now I turn to the 21st chapter of the book of Exodus for just a moment. Exodus 21:32. If the ox shall push a manservant or a maidservant. Now this was a slave, I want you to notice. Pushed him means he'd kill him. He shall give unto their master 30 shekels of silver, and the ox shall be stoned. Now there was the price of a slave. Jesus Christ was sold for the price of a slave. Now you turn with me to Leviticus 27 for just a moment, and the 16th verse. You may not find this so interesting, but I do. 27:16 of Leviticus. If a man shall sanctify unto the Lord some part of a field of his possession, then thy estimation shall be according to the seed thereof, an homer of barley, and shall be valued at 50 shekels of silver. Here, 50 shekels of silver for a homer of barley. Back here, he gave a homer and a half and 15 pieces of silver. It's what he purchased his bride for. But there was to be a time of testing. This may indicate that perhaps she had just proven untrue, but notice she was beloved of her friend. Friend didn't seem to love her too highly, or he wouldn't have sold her. But then we heard a couple of missionaries once. Their name was Elliot. And they had been in India long enough that the woman had even taken on the air of the Indian women. I read an article in an English-speaking paper once when I was in Madras, and it said, no good wife will walk closer than 3 steps behind her husband. She just won't get that close to him. I have a picture in my possessions. I think I told you about it. I was in a home, to make a long story short, where a baby died and was brought back to life. And I wanted a picture of the man and the woman and the child sitting together. And the interpreter told him what I wanted, and he became highly nervous. I could tell that he was highly agitated. And he said through the interpreter to me, in India, a man does not sit with his wife, but for your sake, I will. And anyway, this sister Elliot said she asked a man if she could teach his wife to read. And she said he just reared back and laughed and laughed and said, why don't you teach my cow to read? Well, a wife isn't considered very high in the Orient. Did you ever hear of Dr. Lomsa? He translated the Bible. I have a copy of it. I met him and we were talking along this line. He was from what we call Armenia. And he said, you can still get a good wife for 3 sheep. I'm glad I live in the West. One time I was in the car with Sister Bodie and some other some of the Bible school students, and I said, "Now, what is the Hebrew word for wife?" And Sister Bodie, without a moment's hesitation, said, "Slave." The word concubine is associated with the word mill. Secondary wife, she did the drudgery, she ground at the mill, what have you. She was the drudge. But anyway, seemingly there was to be a testing time. But remember now, he's acting out in both these instances something to show the Lord's love for a backslidden people. "And I said unto her, Thou shalt abide for me many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot. Thou shalt not be for another man, so will I be for thee." Now he makes the application of the statement. "For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king and without a prince and without a sacrifice and without an image and without an ephod and without a teraphim." Now you think for a moment. Poor, benighted people. They have no way in their whole religion to come to God. There is no sprinkled blood for them. There is no priest to enter into the holy place. There is no sacrifice. They have no king and no prince. They have wandered. We'll have that word wander as applied to them later in this book. They have wandered over the face of the earth, hated, despised, and unwanted. But this is their description. Without a king, without a prince, without a sacrifice, without an image, without an ephod, and without a teraphim. That's the household God. "Afterward shall the children of Israel return," there's that word that we've been speaking of, "and seek the Lord their God and David their king, and shall fear the Lord in his goodness in the latter days." This is the latter days pertaining to Israel. And it speaks of David as reigning over them, and in Ezekiel, about a dozen or more times, it speaks of a prince. This will possibly be a descendant of David. The word David means beloved. But these prophets will all call attention to the fact, directly or indirectly, that Israel is going to be restored. She has been put away because of her ungodliness. And did you ever know of the Lord treating anybody mean? I never did. And I wouldn't want to trade him off. It seems strange to think that anybody would. And yet he said, "You have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters." I believe I'll turn to that. I think that's in the third chapter of Jeremiah. "And have hewn yourself out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." I gave you a bad steer, but I quoted it about right. It is in one of these early chapters of Jeremiah. And they gave up their God for those that were no gods. And it's such a strange thing. And they're such blind people. I've mentioned Benjamin the Levite. He said to me, "If I'd see a miracle performed in the name of Jesus, I wouldn't believe." Well, what do you do with such people? Blindness in part has happened to Israel. Don't expect them to get saved in this dispensation. There will be a few of them get saved. The others will not. They hate the Lord Jesus Christ. They despise him. They can't say vile enough things about him. A Jew said to me, "I just consider the New Testament, as you call it, another anti-Semitic book." What I should have said was, it isn't nearly as anti-Semitic as the Old Testament, like what we've just been reading. The Lord uses the most terrible language concerning them.